Tēnā koutou katoa e ngā mātāwaka o te motu. Nau mai tahuri mai ki te reo o te tiu, i runga i te reo irirangi Māori o te hiku o te ika, i wa te kaumā whitu, i ratahi. Nau mai e te ihui ki te whiri tua ono o te hōtaka o te pūtahi. I tēnei wāhanga ka aro atu te paiwhiri a Kingi Gilbert Rāuako Tui Gilling ki te kōrero e pā ana ki te ao Tūruhi me ngā takahitanga e wātea ai ki ngā tūwaiwai hurinoa i Aotearoa. Ka hakawhiti kōrero Rāuatahi kia wētini mītai ngā tai Rāuako Dave Brennan he pā ana ki te oranga tonutanga o ngā Pākehi Tūruhi Māori. Ka kōrero hoki rātou me pēhia te whānake e ngā kaupapa no muri mai i te mate COVID-19. Nō reira e tātou mā areare taringa mai ki te pūtahi o ngā kōrero kua whārikihia. Mau tonu mai.
Nau mai, piki mai ki te pūtahi, ko Kingi Gilbert tōku ingoa, he uri a hau no Te Aroa, Tainui, a me toko maru waka. Ko Tui Gilling, taku hoa kaituku pātai, tēnā koe Tui.
Tēnā koe Kingi.
Ko Tourism te take i te rā nei, the Prime Minister announced her commitment to a COVID-safe travel zone between Australia and New Zealand. We are here with two Māori tourism operators to discuss their movements during the pandemic. Dave Brennan is the owner of Kōtāne and has been operating for 15 years with a roster of 30 staff in Christchurch. Dave's just transitioned out of the Christchurch earthquake and is now confronted with COVID-19. Tēnā koe, Dave. Thank you for coming on Te Pūtahi.
Kia ora tātou.
Wetini Mītai Ngātai founded Mītai Māori Village in 2002 at Te Puna o Tūhoe, Fairy Springs, Rotorua. Wetini's background is in kapahaka and Te Whare Tūtaua is well known. I am a previous student and very grateful to have learned under Wetini. From 1996 to 2000 as part of Te Mātāra i Orihu. Tēnā koe, Wetini, thanks for coming on Te Pūtahi.
Tēnā koe, Kingi. Tēnā koutou.
Kia ora, Wet. I want to draw on a conversation we had a while ago, and it was about business kind of being like a garden to help feed our community, to feed our whānau, to feed our haukainga. And I was just wondering, in the time of COVID, how is the garden going now?
The garden needs replanting and needs a lot of manure. At the moment, the manure has dried up and all we got to do is run around after the horse in the paddock and gather some of what we can and then throw it on the garden. But yes, we have to rethink the whole strategy. It's been an attraction mainly to the overseas international travellers, but now I guess we have to pivot and start looking internally domestic more than the international at the moment.
Dave, we were talking about some of the investments that you had before this call. So how's structuring your business going in this time where things are closed? Banks are under pressure. How's that planning going for you?
I think because we've been here before, and that's not a luxury, it is a help, but I think the key thing is that you need to understand your emotional journey. So for us, it's like shock and awe. Here we go again, shock and awe. And that's around the 6 week to a month before you start to realise and work out what's actually happened around you, and you get over that shock, and then you move into a planning stage. A lot of people don't go there. They actually stay inside that shock and awe for quite some time, and it gets away on them. But we were here, and we had a response to this after the Christchurch earthquakes. And we learnt a lot in that period, so did Canterbury. So we're quite fortunate in that sense. The shock and awe stuff takes care of itself, and now we move into the next part of the process. And usually that's a bit of a blame game. Everyone starts to blame each other. But the wise people just plan, and they start thinking about their whānau, about their workers, about all their assets and their company and everything they do. Yeah. So we're in that stage.
Kia ora. Wet, you talked about on the interview, some of the crew felt like a carving. one of your recent interviews, and I'm just wondering, how's the shock and awe within your team, within your rōpū there at Mitai Māori Village? What's your kōrero?
Yeah. So rather than sit here like carvings, sitting around, we've done all the cleaning up. We've still got a little bit more to do, but getting out there and getting the blood flow again, the morality up, and just trying to create something, you know. So we've got, you know, we've got the hangis going in that time. And, I think it's just, I think that the real direction should be towards the domestic market now, and it's going to be adventure tourism, even food. Putting our own food in the ground, or even offering maybe not just hangi, but other things that some see as delicacies to ourselves, you know. But I like the idea, regardless of putting in a big garden, a big māra, just in case we have something like this happen again. We get that money is kūmara, or creating. We've got all this kūmara that we're creating. The more kūmara we make, the more whānau we can feed. And so it's been great for us, the hapū, our families. Some of us were out of work for quite a long time. So tourism really helped. And I think the subsidy has been excellent. At the end of the day, it needs to continue for a bit, and also to help people to be able to pivot and to realign their businesses, especially Māori business, because who really wants to come and watch a Māori product unless you've got family visiting from overseas? I think Pākehā people would rather go and do the redwoods up here, or they're going to do the tree walk, but really, what is the value in it for them to come to us apart from having a hangi? So we have to rethink the whole thing, you know. And so I was looking at other ways. We've got a little bit of we're just throwing ideas around, looking at art, looking at opening up in town, you know, and stuff like that. But I think even just putting down food. But there are other things. I know people are, they've got businesses, Kiwai, you know, so producing farms, farm producing our kōura, the small lake kōura in there. Another one could be wasabi, because we have this spring, this cold water, and I've always talked about creating wasabi for the market, you know. And we have over 80 whānau at the moment, and usually goes up to about 110 during the busy peak season. So it's looking for ways and means of helping to keep them on and find things to do with a, you know. So there's a lot of thinking processes still going on with the whānau, still doing a lot of wānanga, but I think we're getting there in respects of where we want to go. So those things I just talked to you guys about. So that's where we're at.
Total for that. It's the subsidy's been really great. It's been awesome. We started planning after the last earthquake, as I said earlier, and when we got into this whole situation with COVID, we reassessed it, and we were committed. You know, we borrowed the money from the bank to build a new facility in the city. And just touching on what did we're in a mindset that we've got to work out how we connect with our local market in terms of our schools, our government institutions, our universities, and our FIT local people. And that's a matter of, we know, Wets and I know, that Kiwis aren't going to roll up to your door and buy a hangi meal to a concert. This is price sensitive, and it's perceptions from what they watch on the 6 o'clock news, and that's all that, you know. There's quite a lot of issues under there why they don't come. And I remember this when we first started, we did a 50% discount, and we didn't get any to locals. We didn't get any of the redeemed, and then we gave it away. We gave 2-for-1, and still nothing. So that told us clearly, locals, you know, local Kiwis don't really buy into what we're doing, but we may need to look for a different type of formula. So that's hence why we've moved into the city, and we're a bit more fortunate than back home at Te Arawa, because they've got a lake, but we've got a river, and the river runs through the middle of the city. So we'll put our wakas on there, and we'll do whatever we have to do to get all those pākehās onto them. and then, you know, because it's not about profit anymore. It's about survival. It's about being able to keep your staff employed, keep your company running, and make your way into the future. And then later on, when you get further down the line, when everything starts to recover, then we go back to the old, you know, SWOT analysis. Because right now we're working in a pest analysis environment. You're aware of that, eh? Political, economical, social, technological. That's what we're working on now, as opposed to a SWOT analysis, strength, weakness, opportunities, and threats. We throw that out. They're a waste of time. We know all of those. We need to understand this whole pest analysis thing. And that's kind of where all of us are at, especially as us, Whale Watch, Mitai, Tamaki. I heard Te Puia has been, they've got a bailout, which is makes sense because they're, you know, partly government-owned. And I heard Waitomo getting help as well. Mm-hmm. So I just hope that they're looking at Whale Watch and, you know, some of the other big ones, particularly in Aotearoa, our Icon products, which is one of them. Guys that, you know, they put a substantial amount of time, effort, and their own finances into this. And I think that's where the government needs to push the criteria. We're okay down here in many sense because we've got a huge domestic market and we're the only operators. Mm-hmm. So our focus will go into the schools, it'll go into the universities, and we've got a new convention centre opening soon. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. You know, we've got to work at it. But we're kind of moving in that direction now. And just it's just about surviving, just staying in the game and then hanging in there until it returns. Which I think, and I don't know where Wet's mind is, it's about 2023, 2024. We should, if America and China sort themselves out and stop fighting, we should be okay. But we're not even interested in America, to be quite honest, or Europe. We're more worried about Australia, Southeast Asia, China. Yeah. Stay away from America. It's too volatile.
Yeah.
And they have, they're very conscious. Mm. They're very conscious in terms of safety. And one of the big selling points we will have moving forward is we're a safe country.
Yeah.
Provided we can protect that and all of our operators can get in behind the social distancing and, you know, and keeping everyone, you know, clean, keep their putu out of our country, we should be okay.
Kia ora korua. Can you just outline a little bit what your visitor profile looked like before COVID hit?
We're about 70% Australia, and the rest was Southeast Asia. A wee bit of English, German, not much, because we know they do both islands, and a lot of them will come through the triangle, which is up at the Bay of Plenty, up around Te Aro area. We'll usually get those that are South Island bound only, and they're not going north, or they've been to the North Island before. So that's kind of where our marketplace is. Zero local domestic, but it's a separate product. We categorise them as local market for our social side, schools, universities, like I said before.
Mm. Kia ora. Wetini, what did your profile look like?
In terms of PAX numbers per year, around about 55 to 65K. And at the moment, we're not operating because we know we're not going to get anybody. So it's not worth opening the gates.
Mm.
So we're rethinking the whole thing, the whole package. At the moment, we're doing hangis, you know, and that's about it, really. That's about it. The bubble will help. Most of our tourists, I think, 75% Dave there. Australia is a huge market. So is Europe, UK, a little bit of America, and we have also Korea. And they do, they either go to the south or they come north. And I'd say, so at the moment, it's all good. We just got to just keep on moving.
Mm-hmm.
On moving. Whatever it is, can't sit down. Mm-hmm. We're lucky in some respects. We do have the forest, which is close. We can go and do bush walks and talks and all that sort of stuff. And got the lakes, the rivers, the seas just out here, and also the hot water. So it's all those sort of things. And surprisingly enough, COVID, when you talk about COVID, you know, I'm into the conspiracy theory stuff, and you know, I'm all into right into that stuff, actually. And I'm, you know, so
there's that element that comes to mind when you talk about COVID with me and all that. I've got a whole lot of views on it as well. But, you know, how is small business, medium business going to survive in this climate? It's a big question. Major business, they're okay. They've got enough money and, I mean, Te Puia, you look at them, they're loaded. Well, you know, they should have anyway been able to, you know, continue and hold on to some of their people. As I know, Tamaki, we need to look after our people in this time, not get rid of them. Oh, sorry about saying this, but that's my opinion. And anyone else can, you know, they'll all have their opinion on it. But I feel sorry for the whānau because we're all big companies here. Three of the big Māori companies, and to have one of the major company put our people out, you know, that was really sad. We're trying our best to hold on to ours. Thanks to the government. If you can give them a bailout, why not come and give us a bailout too? Because we need the money. We need to look at things. You know, look at the big companies. But don't just think about us big companies. We're looking at the little ones. I feel sorry for the small ones that have run out of money and had to shut shop, you know. And this is all because when it comes down to COVID-19, okay, we're going to shut the gates, that's it. So now we do need the help, and that's where we're at. We're in this predicament because shut the gates wasn't our decision. A decision made by the governments throughout the world, first time ever, shutting the government. So unusual. And, you know, I'm just waiting for another one to shut us down again. That'll be the coffin. That'll be the lid on the coffin, that baby. But, yeah, we got to just be strong in this climate and, you know, roll with whatever comes our way, whether it be having to shut the shop and do something else, you know. We all can do something else and live internally with our and be self-sufficient as a New Zealand supplier in New Zealand. But there's always the food aspect. There's always looking after our families without having to go to work. You can put up your own, live off the grid and try and get your own power sources. Such a lot on, you know, out there and in the market now. A lot comes through. You don't know which to believe, which not to, but, you know, that's just us needing to make a decision. Yeah, so I'll leave that there.
Tēnā koe.
Oh, Dave, you talked a little bit about collaboration. Can you elaborate on that? And what would that look like? Do you mean what would that look like with other operators, or yeah, what would that look like in a new world?
I think we've got to be careful that we don't start duplicating what others are doing, because you know we all had our own area at one stage. There was a distinction between what we did. And I just want to pick up from where Wes left off. It's really important, those big operators, because they're our pung. They're the ones that inspire us to come into this industry and achieve it. Because we see, you know, we see our rangatira, like Wes, who are multiple out there doing lots of things, and yet, you know, our guys are making money out of just being themselves. They make a living out of just being Māori. And that's just really great. I tell my staff every day, you're being paid to be a Māori. Where else can you get that? Nowhere else in the world. So that's something that we need to protect and something that we need to make sure that it continues as opposed to worrying about bottom lines and triple bottom lines and stuff like that. So whānau business is quite crucial to us because it's made up of whānau. So I've kind of really important that all of our top icon products, our Māori products, don't be there no matter what. Because that's the inspiration. They're the guys that keep us, and you know, keep us in line, keep us going in one direction. Mm. And what was the question again?
Collaboration.
You said
collaboration.
You sounded good anyway.
Oh, good. collaboration. So yeah, collaboration is actually important. It's crucial for us down here. For Rotorua, it's critical mass. You know, they've got critical mass, and the Po can carry on being the Po, and everybody goes to it. But down here, it's a different kind of setup. It's the Waitahu are the Po, so you've got to kind of get in there and still be Waitahu and still be Waitahuriri, but also you've got to remember that it's for you and your people and your little wee area of society. So collaboration is important. Yeah.
Mm. There's that word pivot has come up. A lot of whānau, I know, have been saying, what is pivot? What is this kupu? And we've all become aware of it now, particularly in tourism.
Yeah.
I thought when we were turning, the tourism businesses might not have to turn so far. They could pivot within te ao or Māori within tourism. But it seems like the pivot needs to be actually quite extreme and into whole new sectors, whole new businesses, whole new opportunities. I hear wakaama, I hear hangi. It's almost like it's a whole new world of business entrepreneurship set up, exploring your market. You think that's the future for all tourism in New Zealand? Or just through this period, is there a way to maintain a bit of your...
No, it's woken us up. Absolutely. Mm. We need to be more diverse in what we do. We're a region that's heavy in sport. A lot of sports goes on down here. So we've kind of go, okay, what's the sport they love down here on the water? Well, they love rowing. It's a big thing. But they love the water. So let's try and work out how we can engage with them on the water, hence why we're starting the Waka product. Mm. With Wetanam, massive wānangas, awesome wānangas. I'd love to open a product on just wānanga. Bring them over here and take them to one of Wet's wānangas, and you know, you get 30 to 40 people a night just doing a wānanga on whatever you want a wānanga on and tailor made. So yeah, it is, I call it a changing of your business model as opposed to a pivot. A pivot's kind of a slight turn, but redesign your business model, it's probably more in that category as opposed to a pivot.
Mm. Yeah, no, I love what you're saying. And you're dead right. It should be collaborating. We have woke up and we have to work together, so we're not trying to reproduce the same thing, trying to tell a different story, same place, different story. So many stories we do have. So it's pretty weird. It took this for us to wake up and to start collaborating, talking to each other. Yeah. Survival for the domestic market, but over and beyond when this market does come back, I'd like to see us continue working together and continue with the product that we've come up with, whatever new products that we're pivoting on. And so in the future, I think there is going to be a change to the world, the way we do business, the way we do business and engage with the guest, the traveller, but also each other as well.
And it's on the other side of the fence. It's not just on our side of the fence.
Yeah.
It's on the other side, you know. It's government and everyone else, and I've seen that change slightly. Yeah. But I wanted to pick up where Wet's left off before. We're between a recession and a depression. That's the extremes that we're living in right now, and everything's changing so quickly. It's moving rapidly. You know, like I said before, I went down, I picked up the phone and they quoted me $59 for a life jacket. And I went down and bought 40 of them and they gave them to me at $40. They would have done that 3 weeks, you know, they wouldn't have done that before the pandemic. It's just everyone is working hard with each other to try and make it work, to try and stay in the game. So it's definitely about survival. No matter what it is, it's survival. And those that survive and remodel their businesses to suit what's coming, and get away from their SWOT analysis and profit lines and pleasing corporates and governments, and just worry about delivering what you do best, look after your whānau, look after your staff, and look after your people coming through.
Mm,
but man, Wet's got a beautiful opportunity there with wānanga. You know, this beautiful opportunity, wānanga. And that would cater to locals and everyone else, designed well. We're going on the Waka side, making small 2-seater, 4-seater Wakas, putting little wee whānaus on them, and off they go down the Avon. And then we've got our big ones as well. So we're hoping that'll work for us.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Yeah, awesome. Thanks for the idea, too. I didn't think of that one.
All right, bro, you've got all sorts of whānanga up your sleeve. And you've got heaps of marae, so it's, I think it's an awesome space for you guys.
Yeah.
We'll do them on the water.
Okay, you do that one. We'll leave that one.
All of these ideas will take money. The government, you know, to research and develop, the government has indicated a $200 million package, Kelvin announced. What's your reaction to the $200 million and the $10 million set aside for Māori?
I guess like some of the others, that's not enough. That's not enough for all of us. We need to have a fair bite at it. I mean, I see advertising mainly focused on Queenstown. I see hardly even a pukana here. You know, I mean, where do we get that equality in terms of marketing and in terms of share in order for us to be able to pivot? That's me.
I'm glad that Pāne and her team picked up 10 million, although I would like them to see them more because them and the Māori Party pre all of this were excellent for Māori tourism. They were awesome. Pāne worked tirelessly, as does her team, and she spends a lot of time in China. And she was on the tip of something big for us all. But the thing I like most about her is totally kaupapa Māori. When we go into TNZ and TIA and all those guys, it's membership-based. So, you know, no matter how hard you try and beat them into line, the only time they're ever going to listen to you is when they can see a sale in it or when it's got value, commercial value. And it doesn't really spin our wheels, you know. So I think the 200 million will go where it usually goes, which is TNZ, TIA. It's come out actually to spend. I think a lot of it's going to RTOs, which is crucial to have those relationships, like I said before, work with the RTOs.
Regional tourism operator, eh?
Yeah, they're hard, but I walk in there and I go, it's a pain. But if you're going in there for the right reasons and you know what you want, you know what you come out with, and just drop it when you leave, you're okay. But it really comes back to that collaboration and relationships. We got shocked when Waitohu bailed out. That was a shock. I was quite disappointed. I thought they would have, you know, done that a lot better than the way they did, looking after their people, and it was quite sad. But it's a corporate mindset. They're not about whānau. They're about bottom line.
Yeah,
bottom line.
They're central. Yeah. Mm. See, I totally agree with Pāne. I mean, we're lucky we got Pāne in there, that we've got 10 million coming to us, you know, to our businesses. There's a lot to say that, you know, without her and her crew, that we wouldn't have money coming towards us. And I just feel there's just a, you know, we could do better. I mean, there's a lot of us out there that are going to need help through this transition time. But like you, I'm unlike you. You know more about the tourism than I do, I guess. The RTO, the tourism, New Zealand. So some of it's got to go that way. But I just hope that we don't see our Māori businesses go under, because we've got a lot of people that are, you know, depending on us. So I'll have your kōrero to Dave about the different strategies that you are taking with the waka coming through your place. I'll leave it there.
Oh, tēnā kōrua, ngā mihi. Thank you so much, David Wetini, for coming on Te Pūtahi. Learn a lot. Looks like the pivot is going to be an extreme pivot, and we're looking at new businesses. It's really about survival right now, being innovative, thinking about new markets, new methodologies, the pest instead of the SWAT, and keeping our whānau going, keeping our gardens growing, and providing some sustenance for our people. So I'd like to thank you both so much for coming on and sharing your whakaaro on Te Pūtahi. Tēnā koe, Dave. Tēnā koe, Wetini. Tēnā koutou, ngā mihi nui. And thank you to all our listeners and our viewers for tuning into Te Pūtahi. We'll catch up with you next week. Hei konara.